The Miami Dolphins are facing an opponent, a good opponent, a decent opponent. What is up, Dolphin fans? Welcome to another Dolphin Collective. And yes, it is Friday, which means we are previewing Sunday's game, unless we play on Thursday, and then that's on Tuesday, or if we play on Monday, you know what I'm saying. But anyway, let's get to the sponsorship real quick. Shout out to our guys at SeatGeek for sponsoring. Use the promo code FINS, you get $20 off your first SeatGeek order. And again, the game Sunday is at the stadium. You want to go grab yourself some, go. Millions of downloads, tons of different events. Go check them out. Also, Sleeper, big proprietor Sleeper. I love using it. Super fun to use. They have the more or less with all these different positions and receivers and all that stuff. Check them out. Use the promo code HMA. You get 100% up to $100. And Brunt. I got to say it like that. It's very manly. Brunt. Go out, get yourself some working gear for the working man. Some great, great stuff over there. Durable stuff. Use the promo code HMA and you get yourself $10 off as well. Don't forget, we have podcast form over on Spotify and Apple. And if you want to become a member, you just hit the join button next to the subscribe button. You get a ton of cool perks. You know, all these cool things. Your name is at the end of the episode. You get to tell us how long you've been a member. We read your comment. Go check it out. So, gentlemen, we play the Chargers on Sunday at home. The Chargers are beat to hell. You think the Dolphins are beat up? The Chargers are beat to hell. I think they have one, their one tackle's been out. I think before the season started, Joel isn't playing. And I think their other backup guard slash center is not playing. They are beat up. Looking at this game and looking at how it's panning out, we're going to get into the other notes, but just quick preview of this game and what you guys think. We'll start with Omar.
I don't think, and you guys know this because I say it all the time, I don't think there's any easy L's in the NFL. Yes, injuries impact how a team performs, but Dolphins are also potentially going to play without Aaron Brewer. And reality is, Dolphins aren't a good team either. I think the Chargers actually have been a good team, and I think they've been hit by injury bug as of late. But they're still well coached. They've still got a quarterback with a phenomenal arm, a little bit of mobility. He's challenged a little bit by his offensive line, but welcome to the club. Mm-hmm. I know some people will say, you know, every offensive line has challenges, and look at the offensive line that's out there in the NFL, and everybody's playing with injured guys on the offensive line. I don't know.
Is that how my voice sounds? Sounds.
I just said I don't know who I'm mimicking.
Sounds like facts. But go ahead.
Yeah. But. I am actually very uncomfortable with this game because I don't know how much fight is left in the dog. And this could be the game where it could be the wave the white towel game. And I hope it's not, because I think that you can win this game and gain a little bit of momentum, and your schedule is a little bit kind of favorable within the next month. But when you start losing belief and confidence, it's a slippery slope.
Alan, what's your thoughts on this game?
Well, my thoughts on this game is this vaunted group of edge defenders for the Dolphins doesn't get this done in this game. I say ship them all out. Yep. As you mentioned, the left tackle position, the guy starting at left tackle for the Chargers on Sunday was acquired in a trade in the summer for a 7th-round pick from the Houston Texans. Okay, that tells you all you need to know. And the guy starting at right tackle is going to be Bobby Hart, because the one who replaced Joe Alt at right tackle when he moved to left tackle to replace Rashawn Slater is Trey Pipkins III, who is out for the game. So the starting right tackle is going to be Bobby Hart, who was signed to the practice squad 10 days ago. So if Chop Robinson, ow, Jalen Phillips, Bradley Chubb, Matthew Judon cannot impact this game, ship them all out.
Isn't their center bench too? Didn't they bench their starting center? as well.
No, they haven't benched him.
I heard that, but I looked and I didn't see any stories about it.
They have not benched him. In fact, all the reports from the beat reporters, what the offensive line looked like today is their interior guys are the same. It's Zion Johnson, Bradley Bozeman, Mekhi Becton, but then the two.
That must have been a fake
tackles.
Didn't come out.
Gotcha. TD, what's your thoughts on this game?
Tua versus Herbert.
Somehow it surprisingly all comes back to Tua.
No, it's Tua versus Herbert because you got two teams in similar situations with their offensive line. But I'm sorry, this game here, I'm going to be honest with you, still doesn't favor the offense until this pass rush can show something. Now, this is the week they should.
Yeah.
They should, right?
100%. We'll get to that.
Listen, at the end of the day, as long as you got a quarterback like Justin Herbert, you always have a chance, okay? But on the Dolphins side of the football, you know, that collective group, in my opinion, should be good enough to still get the job done. Now, I'm not going to sleep on the Chargers defense. Harbaugh has them coached well. And let me say this, too. I was listening to the coordinators and Harbaugh this week. They get it, which concerns me. They get it. Like, remember 3 years ago or something like that where they absolutely obliterated us with their third string corners, like everybody in the second string. And it was like, wow, they are like dominant and they played to our strengths and they shut it down. Then the year after it was weird because they played zone, a lot of cushion. They didn't do none of what they did the year before. But when I heard these coordinators come out this week, they were talking about all those things from, you know, the right game plan against us. So that's what concerns me because this team is eighth in points allowed in the NFL. They don't give up as many as people, you know, that they're always in games because their defense doesn't give up points just randomly off the top, you know? So it's going to be a really good battle though. I like this matchup just simply because there's a lot of evenness. I feel like we might have more talent due to their injuries, but they are better coached, at least from a proven standpoint in history, and they got a quarterback. So we'll see how this one turns out. It's hard to call it. I got my prediction, but this is going to be a good game, actually.
So we've all mentioned it. You know, their offensive line is not good. It's just – it is what it is. And like Alan said, he hit the nail right on the head. If we can't get, and I think in my preview, I said a minimum of four sacks, like minimum of four sacks, there's a problem. And like Alan said, ship them out. The Chargers offensive line, 29th in sacks, giving up 17 sacks, 24th in pressure, giving up 33.8% pressure, 27th in time to pressure, 2.17 seconds, and 25th in clean pocket percentage. It's not a good offensive line. And Justin Herbert is mobile, but he's not Lamar Jackson. He's not Justin Fields. He's not that elusive, but he's mobile. You give him a lane, he's going to take off. He's going to get you the first downs. He's got like
1,380 rushing yards.
Yeah.
Pretty damn good to me.
Yeah. But he's not as slippery like Justin Fields was against us. So is this, we've all touched upon it. Can the defensive line, mostly Sealer, mostly Chop, Phillips, even Judon, you know, the vets, like Kenneth Grant would be nice and, you know, Jordan Phillips would be nice, but the vets, can the vets finally chain together the pressures? Because our defense is up there in sacks, but it's barely from the offense for the defensive line. It's all these blitzing corners and linebackers and stuff. So starting with T.U. the other way, can this defensive line take advantage of a bad offensive line?
This week, I'm going to make a prediction that they're not. They're not going to get home. I mean, they'll get them maybe two times or something like that on just coverage. But they're not going to get home and dominate the game like they should, because I think Harbaugh is going to come to the realization this week, because Harbaugh know how to adjust. He's going to come to the realization, yeah, we're going to keep them tight ends in line. We're going to make sure that we have the edges blocked up, get some double teams on, you know, key positions on the inside. And they're going to run 2 and 3 man routes. And they're going to kill us if we run zone coverage. They're going to run 2 and 3 man routes. And, you know, Herbert in zone coverage, it does not favor us. As long as he has the time in that situation, they're going to find ways to tire our D-line down. So I don't think they're going to get home this week, because they're going to make sure they max protect a lot.
Alan?
I do think there's going to be some degree of success. How much? Again, the mismatch on the outside is too big for the Dolphins not to have some sort of success with the pass rush. And again, if they don't, it's like it could not be a bigger indictment. And they better get to him and affect him, even if they don't sack him. It's not, to me, it's not about the number of sacks. It's about how often do you make him rush his throws or get him out of the pocket, because the Chargers have gone from having a booty cheeks type of wide receiver core to having a very good wide receiver core with two guys who get open with Ladd McConkey and Keenan Allen, and Quentin Johnson can take it over the top. So I do think the Dolphins will have some degree of success with the pass rush. How much, that we'll find out.
Omar?
This is, you know, you guys are putting it on the defense. I'm putting it on the run game.
Good. We're talking specifically about the defense right now. We're not talking about the key to the game. Stick to the topic.
Okay. I'm worried about playing without your green dot player, Terrell Dotson. Basically, nobody wants a green dot in the, on that defense.
Shouldn't it be Terrell Green Dotson? Sorry.
Yeah. Everybody and Dotson. Sorry. Thank you. You know, I worry about a defense. What week was it they were complaining about communication? It was after Buffalo week.
Yeah.
So every week it's been some excuse or some justification for why they've struggled. And so now we finally got a communication out of the equation, and then you lose your green dot player, or you lose your nickel cornerback, and Minka's going to have to play nickel, somebody else is going to have to play safety. And it just seems you're already having issues at defensive tackle. It just seems like you everything is stacked against you to have success against this team. I love that this is going to be a benchmark game for me. Depending on how the Dolphins play at home, you should look better than you look on the road, especially offensively. Your jet sweeps, your motions, all that stuff. You don't have to go to silent count and silent cadence, so I don't want to hear that excuse. The run game should be hotter, and you just need the defense. Let's hope that you put up points, and you just need the defense to be respectable. I mean, we're not even asking for top 10 defense anymore. We just want respectable.
Yeah, 100%. So we will get to the predictions, but real quick, if the Dolphins lose, and, you know, it's not saying it's far-fetched for the Dolphins to lose because, hey, we lost to the Panthers. You know, we lost to teams we probably shouldn't have lost to. If the Dolphins lose, does something finally happen? Does Stephen Ross, especially because it's home? I heard people say this, and it intrigued me, the fact that he would be losing to Jim Harbaugh at home against Justin Herbert, a quarterback that now some of the fan base is saying we should have took. Like, a lot of things, you know, and we're home. Like, last week, if we were home, the Boo Birds would have been out real loud. Dolphins lose this game. Do they finally pull the trigger? And if they do, who gets fired? Omar.
No. I don't know who firing anybody benefits right now until you basically put this team on a yard sale and, you know, do what you couldn't do in 2019 and, you know, 2000 and, you know, are now being sued for. Steve Ross, only if they get embarrassed. Somebody said, I don't know if it was on this podcast, where they mentioned or suggested sell the team. So the fans should chant, sell the team. And I thought about it for a minute. I'm not encouraging this type of behavior, because I don't think the planes don't bother me. I'm curious what it says this week. The planes don't bother me. I don't even pay it any mind. I don't write about it because I don't want to encourage that kind of behavior. But if you begin chanting loud enough, sell the team, and Steve Ross hears it because the team's performance is so poor, it could provoke him. But this man is...
You're not encouraging it.
I'm not encouraging it. I mean...
But I
guess you're telling you the outcome,
because he's possible. Sitting there watching it with maybe a few friends or whatever, whoever it may be, and basically that's a direct shot at him.
Yeah, and you know, he takes this very personally. But the question that I've asked you guys this constantly all the time, outside of providing a sacrificial body, a head on a stake for the fan base, which, you know, sometimes is necessary.
Yeah.
Exactly what does firing anybody achieve?
I think the only person firing somebody that will achieve anything is if you fire Greer. And that's not going to happen.
What's up in the middle of the season? And Omar, what did it accomplish to fire Joe Philbin?
But that was different. The team had quit on Joe.
Well, it's correct. Man,
The
team quit on Joe Philbin, checked out on him with Dan Campbell. I mean, Dan wasn't a defensive coordinator or offensive coordinator. He was a tight end coach that just got elevated. Now, if you want to elevate the tight end coach who happens to be the assistant head coach, okay. But now who's going to become the play caller? Even though Dan Campbell came in and hired new offensive people and they got
seven former offensive coordinators on the staff, they can find somebody to call the plays.
Dude,
I'm not saying it's going to happen to me. It only happens if they get embarrassed to where Stephen Ross is like, what is this? Not happening. I had another thought and I completely lost it.
I wrote a column about this is the synergy of Justin Herbert and Jim Harbaugh coming into your backyard. And these are both two individuals that you missed out on. And just, you know, you sitting in the bed that you laid.
Missed out or passed on?
Yeah, well, correct. Herbert didn't miss out on because they could have had him. Harbaugh's a different story.
Yeah, it's a tricky situation to explain Harbaugh because people in the NFL believed he would have only left the NFL for the NFL for California teams. Mm. And he already coached one of them. So really, you know, how many options has he got?
Jackson Dart too.
What'd you say?
Missed out on Jackson Dart too. But anyway,
I had him ranked.
I will say this. If the Dolphins lose, regardless of the score, I highly suspect on Monday or Tuesday, Chris Greer is picking up the phone and calling the GM and say, guys, I'm open for business.
Yeah. No question.
I think there will be a scapegoat if we get beat bad in this game. And
you think you get a body?
Yeah. I think Anthony Weaver. If that defense looks horrible.
Ooh, that's interesting. It
kind of puts the fans at bay. There is accountability, even though it's a scapegoat. Mm-hmm.
I don't think he hurt his career like that.
Okay. I'm just saying because it's easy for people to pile on the defense because they ain't played a good game yet.
That's true. But then I could also lay the foundation of, okay, you gave me my starting cornerbacks a month into the season. You basically gave me nothing but rookie defensive tackles and Benito Jones.
Well, we brought you in here to fix Channing Tindall, Cam Smith, and a few others. I'm just saying.
I mean, you buy me bad groceries. That don't mean I can make you a good meal.
That's what we thought.
We thought you were a good cook, Omar.
Yeah.
Oh, so that's how McDaniel feels.
You know what's funny? That's probably all the discussions that are. Everyone's just like you. Everyone's playing.
When you get to this stage. When you get to, I'm not going to say who it was, but I saw somebody I hadn't seen in a long time. And you know, you pass and you say, how you doing? And you know, his response was trying to survive. And I was just like, yeah, that's about everybody in this building. Yeah. Mm-hmm. That basically sums it up. Like the whole organization needs to be in survival mode. And, mm-hmm. The only person I feel is not in survival mode, and I'm not even saying this to shade it, is Chris Greer. I'm not trying to provoke nobody. I'm not trying to instigate anything, but you know, you see what's going on in defensive tackle. What have you done?
He ain't the only one.
And that's why so many fans thought we were tanking because of what Chris Greer wasn't doing and how he was just like, again, you talked about it time and time again when people on Twitter, Omar, were saying, you know, we have no cap space. Like that, they could have got $19 million in cap space if they wanted to. But again, they didn't want to touch Tua. The Bank of Stephen Ross was closed. So, but he again, he focused on, you know, bringing Jude on and then doing it. And he just, it seemed like to everyone else.
Even Jude on last minute, Pat Jones last minute, Rasul Douglas last minute. You know, there's no sense. And yeah, it doesn't hurt when your offensive line, which you knew was your weakest link on the entire damn team, you know, loses four prominent players. And that's really what it is. It's four prominent players that are out right now. You know, Liam and Meyer and Daniel.
Liam Eichenberg, prominent player.
And would Liam Eichenberg be starting right now? Yeah. Hell yeah.
Hey, man, I'm voting for Liam Eichenberg for the Pro Bowl this year.
Listen, I'm voting. I warned y'all. I told y'all. We're going to be begging for Liam Eichenberg at some point. And here we are, hoping that Liam Eichenberg. I was talking to Kendall Lamb, and he was talking about Liam. Because I haven't seen Liam in a minute, like a hot minute. And he was like, yeah, I was just talking to Liam about something. So he's still in the building. Saw James Daniel today. I always get uncomfortable when I don't see guys in the building. And James Daniels, because when they're not in the building, that mean they probably rehabbing wherever they live with their family at home, and you know, come here for medical checks and whatever or not. And today I saw Meyer too, so today might have been a medical check day, but it's always good to see them in the building.
Is Tyreek in the building? I heard him talking to the receivers at one point.
Yeah, that was last week.
Yeah. You keep talking about Aaron Brewer. Is he not playing?
I think there's a possibility he's not going to play. I think there's a possibility he might not get cleared.
They're losing this game, man.
Hey, we ain't losing this game, man. They got to beat up O-line. We do too.
They got the better defense.
We
got the better quarterback.
Hey, he is 2-1 against Herbert. I will say that. So.
My God.
Hey, we're talking.
I knew that was going to provoke him.
You know, TD did say Tua versus Herbert. If we're going to bring that up, he is 2-1. I'm just saying.
I trust Tua. Man.
And two of those wins, one of them happened in Herbert's home. So I don't know what I'm just saying. Yeah. But let's get to it. We'll make the prediction, and then maybe we'll chat about a few things. Actually, no, we'll get to donations. We'll make our predictions, get to donations.
When do we get into the sleepers?
Oh, we'll do sleepers. We'll do sleepers after predictions. It's just for fun facts, because I already looked at them. It's not that interesting. It's like half a touchdown for like everybody. It's not that interesting. They normally really update it before the game starts. So again, if you really want to see some good more or less, check it right before the game starts and use the promo code HMA. I don't think the Dolphins are winning this game. And now that I hear Brewer is potentially not playing, now I really don't think. I had the Dolphins losing 24-14. And for me, it's because the Chargers have the better defense. That's what it's really going to come down to. I think at some points, you know, we will get pressure on Herbert, but Herbert will still, he's got a fast release and he's got a strong arm. He'll still be able to make the throws and get them out there. I did pick up their third string running back, Haskin. I think that's his name. And I am starting him in fantasy, because I expect him to have 206 rushing yards. You shake your head. I did not expect what happened last week to happen.
Do you know how many career rushing yards? Haskins first got in the NFL in 2022. Do you know how many career rushing yards he has? Buck 93.
I'm just saying. Okay. Did you know who Rico Dowdle was?
Rico Dowdle had four 100-yard rushing games. I had no idea who he was before that game.
I just think the Chargers have you stack the teams right, obviously better quarterback, same offensive line, I would say kind of the same weapons. Keenan Allen is good, but he's still up there in age, but he's definitely a good possession receiver. You know, Gaskin, another
they got superior receivers.
We got another former player coming into the building.
Chargers.
Mano y mano is he?
Name me another receiver other than Jalen Waddle.
If you count Waller,
Darren Waller. Weapons, you can even the board. It's a wash. O line is a wash. Run game, we should actually have the advantage.
But that's where I pick your
starting five offensive linemen.
You look at the two teams, and Chargers have the better defense. And they're going to stop us, especially with that. So I have the.
They're actually going to get Denzel Perryman back, more than likely. They're losing Deshaun Hand, who is a starter for them. He's not going to be healthy enough because of a growing injury. Mm-hmm. So they've got issues too, but as everybody will at when we get to this point of the season, like, you know, hopefully the Dolphins, knock on wood, walk out of the game without losing anybody of significance. But y'all know that happens on a regular basis in the NFL.
Who do you have winning, Omar?
I do have the Chargers winning. I just don't feel comfortable with where this team is in terms of the confidence level. You know, when you look a fighter in the eye and you don't see the fight there, or you don't see that he wants to go back in the ring. I'm sensing that look. I'm sensing a look of fear, and that's never a good place for a team. So 27-24.
Alan.
Yeah, I'm kind of with you, Doug. I think the Chargers just – I think offensively that it's very close to even everywhere. Both bad offensive lines because of their issues. Both have good skill position players. And then on defense, I think the Chargers are – especially based on what we've seen from the Dolphins so far this season. Plus, Omar makes a good point that the Dolphins are in kind of a little bit of woe-is-me mode. And if they encounter some – adversity early in the game, even though I do know that adversity is opportunity. I think
opportunity to let people down.
At Omar Kelly, who said that number. I had like 24.
Undefeated in that.
Yeah. Adversity is opportunity. I should write that as a column, like opportunity to let people down. That's what adversity is around here.
TD, what's your take on this game? Who you got?
For me, this game here, and I'm not trying to troll, this comes down to the quarterbacks. You know, which one makes the most plays despite the circumstance? And I'm going to have to go with Herbert in this one in the Chargers.
But I thought you just told me that Tua was the better quarterback.
I was just trying to make you happy, Omar. That's all. That's all.
Don't lie to me. Don't lie to me.
It was an opportunity, you know. No, but I just think that Herbert's going to come out on top because he cares if he throws five picks or five touchdowns. He cares if he wins or loses, you know. I think he cares about, you know, everything going on in the organization. So, yeah, I got Herbert.
So you're one of those people who are taking that quote and blowing it out of proportion?
If that's your take on it of blowing it out of proportion, I don't blow it out of proportion at all. I think that he is right to put his family and all of that above anything. But again, once again, one of those read the rooms. Come on, man. Everybody dying for a win. We struggling as a team. We don't want to hear that. We want to hear that mentality of, you know, I don't want to throw five picks. It ain't I don't care if I throw five or five touchdowns. I'm going to be all right. I don't care if we win or lose. I'm going to be all right. No, we need passion. I ain't trying to go out there and throw five picks. I'm trying to go win this game. This is going to be a tough game. I want to put everything I can in to win. I care about us losing.
Let me ask you this question because I'm curious. When is the last time you heard or felt passion from a Dolphins player in the locker room?
True.
But here's my thing on it, right? He gets asked a question asking if he lets the fans.
Oh my God, question and Doug jumping in.
You took too long. And every time I try to say something, someone talks over me. So, he got asked a question about fan criticism and does he let it get to him? Mm-hmm. And he said, no, I go home, I see my kids. Mm-hmm. And then he uses an extreme example. And what is happening is people who don't like Tua, not saying UTD, people who are overcritical of Tua are taking his extreme example and they're blowing up out of proportion when it's an extreme example that he's saying, regardless, I have my kids at the end of the day. And I even quote tweeted it and said, yeah, because I'll be down here doing this and dealing with the team and, you know, haters and people sending me emails threatening me. I go upstairs, I see my 4-year-old daughter and my soon to be son, and I forget it all. So I don't understand why people are taking that and making it into
something. You know he works.
I don't know that. But I see the question that they ask him about the criticism of fans. Once again, you got paid as a quote-unquote franchise quarterback. And at the end of the day, I can understand the fans' frustration. This is what I expect.
He's
to
not
hear.
Letting it get to him.
That's not what I'm saying. I can understand their frustration. They should be mad. They want a better product. That's what we want to hear, and we're going to do all we can to go out and give it to him.
You don't want a better product?
But he's already said that. See,
I don't think he cares.
See, and that's – and again, you're
reading into his answer, though, TD, a little bit.
Exactly.
Of course I am. I'm in this as a fan. This is what we read, and this is what I'm talking about.
I think they care a little too much and play tight and stress. And I think what's gone wrong with this season, especially the start, is other than just it's a bad roster. It's a
bad league. When they start losing, then you get that type of sentiment. And that's what that's how it makes you feel. Things aren't going well, and it's like you're running from it.
See, but here's the thing.
I don't know if they're running from
it. You focused on that, but then you ignore him when he said the fans don't pay to watch us play like that on the field. The fans don't deserve this type of play on the field. He has said that. He even said that you deserve better. We got to cut all that out now. We got to start now if you want to make – like, he said these things that you want from him, but you take the one quote.
I heard him saying that. I care if you throw five picks. Don't throw them. It's like, here's my thing.
Example.
But people are holding Tua accountable now. And you know why? Because we are 1-4.
They've been doing this.
We are 1-4, and the Miami Dolphins could be 3-2 if he played the level of football that we expect based off of how much we paid him as an organization. If he played up to the level that his contract warrants, we'd at least be 3-2.
His salary is the reason why you have no talent on this team.
That's a big reason, Omar.
Not that you're bad at drafting.
That's the reason too. But guess what?
Okay,
they failed at it. You need a quarterback to carry. This is all I'm saying. You're getting paid to carry.
How about you? And I said this during the game, and I stand on it, watching the Eagles-Giants game. And congratulations to Jackson Dart. And, yes, it's a good example of you can find a quarterback in every draft. You can. If you develop them right, we don't know what the final product of Jackson Dart will be. Like, let's wait until defenses catch up to him and they know what the book is. Right now, they're creating the book. But I watched that game, and – I felt jealous of Jalen Hurts. Jalen Hurts had all day to pass that damn ball. And I get it. He's got one of the better offensive lines in the NFL. I would love to have one of those two. I would love to have one of those two, because I believe, me personally, Omar Kelly, that's the reason that the Philadelphia Eagles won a championship and are a good team.
You actually
good in the trenches.
No, you're proving the point, Omar. Why did the Eagles lose last night? Because Jalen Hurts stunk the place up with all that time. It's the quarterback. Don't stink. Whether you got time or not, you got to look at Jackson Dart. Like, the man, he had to go get plays. He had to go take them when nothing was there. Yeah. It's the quarterback. We keep talking about the O-line. It helps. It advances. It helps your quarterback. But sometimes you ain't going to have that luxury. Which ones out here can go get it anyway? Jackson Dart went and got it. Drake May went and got it.
One game.
And guess what? On that one game, Omar, I'm about to challenge you on something. Go look at Jackson Dart's game and go look at Drake May's game they just played.
Yeah.
Big time competition. They, in their young, short career, has had a game like that that was just superior. Tua hasn't had an Arizona game. Not when it mattered. Buffalo game. No. Again, we're talking about Super Bowl teams. And we're talking about where they played almost flawless football from start to finish. I'm not talking about a
Super Bowl contending team.
Did he play like that? He never played like that versus Buffalo.
What Buffalo game are you talking about?
Exactly.
2022? Not Buffalo. Baltimore.
About Baltimore?
Baltimore. He threw two picks in the first half and had to climb out of it. I'm talking about start to finish, shootout, playing flawless the whole game. Tua doesn't have one. And these guys got a young career and already producing them. That's what you got to pay attention to. Not one. You can dig as deep as you want. Arizona don't qualify. Baltimore don't qualify. He dug the hole to begin with.
He's played great games from start to finish that does not
against
require
competitors, miracles. Against high-level teams. That's what we're talking about. Big games, big moments. He doesn't have one. Not one going into 6 years now. And these guys are starting to already stack them up, and that's my problem.
Okay, next topic.
Yeah,
I'm accepting that. You're right.
To address my point, because people obviously don't understand where I'm coming from. I'm getting called the flip-flopper to an ear and all that stuff. If Tua acts ridiculous and says something ridiculous in his press conference, I call it out. Like I called him being sensitive not too long ago. It's called being unbiased and reading the room. So, yeah, if I disagree with this one, doesn't mean I'm a flip-flopper or a to an ear. Sensitive people, man.
I love the
Tua. You're not allowed to give Tua any credit or defend him because then you're a Tua near.
Tua's at fault for everything that's wrong with him.
There you go, Mark. Come on, there you go.
Let's just put that on the table.
I see a different perspective. So that makes me a two and ear. People are so sensitive, man. It's just so funny. All right, let's get to these donations.
Once you admit that Tua's at fault for everything in the Miami Dolphins organization, it just sets the table and diffuses every situation. They don't have anything else
See right here. This is the point. Doug, you said it's time for us to move on from Tua. Yeah. And I still think it's time for the Dolphins to move on from Tua. What's your point? Just because I think what he said in the press conference is different than what other people are saying doesn't mean I don't think they should move on from him. Again, people are soft. It's fine. Anyway, let's get to these donations. Ian, new member, shout out to you. Again, if you'd like to join the membership, hit the
welcome in
next to the subscribe button. RJ, new member, shout out to you. Ian with a fiver. Appreciate you, my man. Red Hood with a fiver. Omar, did you see what happens when you have a franchise quarterback and not one that's paid like it?
What do you mean?
I guess you're looking at Jackson Dart's game.
Oh yeah, yeah. I want good quarterbacks on rookie contracts. Love them. No, that would be great. And you got to build a team around them, and hopefully it makes you a contender. Hopefully you draft well too. And
the same thing I said about Drake May, I'm going to say about Jackson Dart. I praise Jackson Dart. I love the way he played. Let's pump the brakes a little bit. Let this play out.
I think May's legit. I think Jackson Dart, I worry about how long he's going to last because he is.
If he can sustain the contact.
You what?
If he can sustain the contact. Well, if he uses his leg, he's going to survive.
He's not a big dude.
Yeah, I agree.
Last I checked,
he was knocked out of a game.
And they shouldn't have let him come back in.
Let him come back in. If that was Tua, he would be on IR tomorrow.
Limitation.
The next day.
Limitations.
The NFL wouldn't allow it.
Did you hear what's supposedly going on with Scatabo? What he does is, regardless of the hit, he shakes his head so they can't decipher if he has a concussion or not.
Mm. That's scary, though. I mean,
I don't want to see that kid 10 years from now.
No.
I don't.
Play smart.
He might be worse than Ajayi. Because I said Jai ain't going to last long, even though it wasn't a head injury.
I loved him in the draft process. I just knew he wasn't going to last very long. Yeah. Neither is Ollie Gordon.
Jai's knees were shot before he got to the NFL.
Yeah, bone on bone, right? It was like there was nothing in there.
Tua's fault.
Aaron, what the fuck? It was premonition. He was sending it before his time.
I knew they were drafting the man.
Aaron with the fire said, was that Tua quote about seeing his family either way, if they win or lose, being blown out or out of proportion? Also, TD, I don't know why you remind me of Bernie Mac. Because TD's funny as hell. That's why he reminds you of Bernie Mac. I don't know necessarily. What's the quote?
A little bit blown out of proportion.
I saw Tua with his kids for the first time last week on an NFL video clip.
Yep.
And I'm pretty sure Tua would be like furious if he knew that was taken and shared.
They're on the field. Sorry. I mean,
you're right. They're on the field. Yeah. It's you know, he's very protective of his family. And
it's fine, but
I saw his Gatorade commercial yesterday, the new one.
Does he really have a Gatorade commercial?
Yeah, he's doing an opening box of the new Gatorade jacket.
That's a promo.
But yeah, he was promoing it, whatever. Like, yeah, man, I don't care about winning or losing. Let me show you.
Two A Gatorade commercial.
Ian, what the fiver says, Chargers defense struggled with two quarterback starts and Daniels, who could run against their man coverage. Fins don't have a quarterback to exploit that. It's the NFL nowadays.
Well, I mean, Giants scored 21 and they got two interceptions returned like inside the 5 yard line. So it's not like Dart like lit up the Chargers, but the Giants won that game because their pass rush got in Herbert's grill the entire game.
Really quick.
And Jane Daniels is like a top five quarterback. So
really quick. Why do you guys think that the Eagles offense has been struggling lately?
Jalen Hurts been struggling lately. That's why they've been trying to run the ball a lot, but then the receivers getting disgruntled. Then when they try to open it up to throw, he's been off. I mean, look at some of them throws. Touchdowns, overthrowing them. Like, that you got to play. I mean, and he has it in him. You've seen it. But you know what? When you get so used to running the football, you need a steady diet of it.
You think he got complacent after getting the Super Bowl?
No, I know the reason. Offensive
coordinator, new one.
Gotcha.
I know the reason. They just don't run the tush push often enough.
Four times in a row.
That was, Jesus, listen, we just watched the death season of the tush push.
I felt it. I said, oh, yeah. Man. Oh, that means they're going to do it.
And a Giants player got hurt. Four straight tush pushes. And a Giants player.
Another false. Hey,
no, Eagles, no. They're going to run it like seven. They're going to run it just down the field at one point.
Yeah, you better enjoy it right now because it ain't going to be in the NFL in 2026.
No. Especially get the votes, maybe the refs were a little bit more strict on the false starts, but yeah.
It's funny that all of Twitter knew that was the death of the tush push. Like, oh, you doing it four straight times?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, somebody got hurt? Oh, this is the last time we see this.
You got a yard every time.
there's a false start in it, too?
Every time, man. John C. with a big 50 burger. Appreciate you, John. Last week, 7 runs, 11 passes on second down. What's it matter? Our defense playing call is awful. Every time we throw a bubble screen, I want to puke. WTF. Don't fire anyone if you want a top 3 pick. And that's where I threw Greer under the bus because I'm like,
what?
Let the new guy come in and build something. Start trading these guys.
And those runs on second down, you got to do better on first to run it again on second. Mm-hmm. You can't have second and 11 and second and 9. You're putting yourself in a tough situation trying to run it again.
Yep.
Tua does not play well when you do not have a running game. He's a play action quarterback.
Yeah, and that's I see it a lot on Twitter in my comment sections. People are like, the team did build around Tua, and I'm like, they built what McDaniel wanted, which was that speedy receiver set. Because to me personally, you want to build for Tua, you get him a run game, you get an offensive line. I feel like they did the opposite.
Every move they've made since 2021 has been about Tua. Maximizing Tua.
Yep. Come on. Now, again, they're going to hit on some and miss on some. The problem is they hit on the draft. They missed on the draft picks and hit on the trades and free agents. And that's the problem. Nothing developed to last long term. So when those guys start purging out, this is what we're left with.
Between QB coaches, you bring in Jalen Waddle. You get Tyreek Hill. You bring in Teron Armstead. The offense design. I mean, seriously,
Connor Williams.
Man, if I'm building, and I'm not going to argue against the point that you made because you have a valid
Because you'd be wrong. But okay, go ahead.
Yes. but if I'm building that offense for Tua, I'm taking Jamar Chase, and I'm not friggin' trading that pick. But you know, or I'm getting a better right tackle. That would have been my pick instead of Kenneth Grant. I would a guard. A right tackle, push Austin Jackson inside. I don't know if I buy that this is a team built for Tua. I think this is just a team that's poorly built.
Here's the thing is they didn't take Jamar Chase, but they got an extra first-round pick to get a speedy receiver for him. Not only that, a speedy receiver with whom he had played in college.
And gave it up because they tried to get Sean Payton and Tom Brady. Here,
yeah, they lost that pick.
No, they gave it that they traded that. Well, yeah, and they gave, yeah, but if they hadn't done that, then they would have given away one of their picks, so and one of their own picks. So. Anyway,
Johnny with the Fiverr said, "What alternate reality did I step into where Herbert is good? He's a bum." TikTok highlights from 2021 as people brainwashed whole quarterback class is trash.
Watch the YouTube video of his touchdown pass to Keenan Allen against Denver.
Who does he sound like? Who called him a Herbert a YouTube quarterback?
Yeah. Who was it?
Oh,
a YouTube quarterback? What is that?
Yeah,
what
he had he has a talk show with Joy.
Oh,
Acho, right?
Acho.
Yeah,
he had a talk show with Joy.
Yeah, he called him.
Now he has a podcast with Shady.
And every time that Herbert lost the playoff game, he'd be like, "Told you." I'm just like, Russell at the tour says Greer is terrible building the trenches. Time to go.
Okay.
Bottom three in the past 3 years in cap on offensive linemen and bottom three in the past 3 years on draft capital on offensive linemen.
Does it matter when you can't select them?
Panama Jacket or Jack with five. He says Weaver did just fine with the Ravens. He's not the problem. He was the D-line coordinator.
Correct.
Yes.
It's completely he was
an assistant head coach. So
you got to look at what he did with Houston.
Yeah,
that's but
that's not fair. That was 1 year, and he was losing guys left and right.
Yes.
He was losing guys left and right now as well.
And it was a COVID year, and he lost
J.J. Watt for a good part of the season. Yeah.
We would say he wanted to cry watching film.
Meadow with the tenor says, if a beat reporter from another team asked you if McDaniel would be a good OC, what is your gut reaction? Is he still regarded as a great offensive mind? No shade. Yep. Might just need a fresh start. Yeah.
Yeah.
He's look at Brian Flores. Prime example, Brian Flores. He wasn't ready to be a head coach. Top three best defensive coordinators in the NFL.
I'll be silent.
Yeah, please, because I don't want to hear anything else.
Are you really going to argue about his ability as a defensive coordinator?
What's his defense rank now? I don't know.
But it's got to do with personnel also. Are you serious? Wow.
I just said I don't know. I'll be silent. I said I would be silent. I
thought that defense is still doing well.
When did he join? Okay.
No.
2022.
I said I'd be silent. No, I'm going to be silent.
Man. Just look at that. The 2020 Dolphin defense didn't necessarily have great personnel other than X, and it balled out like crazy.
They're sixth in the NFL right now.
Right, right now he's the sixth.
They were second last year or something like that.
Yeah. All right, props to you.
Say what you want about the man, but the dude can coach you some X's and O's.
Yeah. Kelly, new member, shout out to you. Appreciate you.
Welcome.
Johnny with the tour says Tua haters should be politicians because they lie. They don't lie. They might exaggerate a little bit. They don't lie. Well, then maybe they should be politicians because politicians tend to exaggerate a lot too.
By the way, what's the definition of a Tua hater? Somebody who has the nerve to criticize one aspect of
it depends who you ask. If you're asking a Tua lover,
hater makes it personal.
Considered a hater.
Let me ask you all this question, and I seriously want an answer from everybody. Where would this organization be if it was Herbert and not Tua?
Same spot. Same
spot. Hey, listen, man, we might have a Lombardi.
No.
We might have a Lombardi, man.
No.
Man, Brian Flores, listen, first of all, Brian Flores would have never yelled at Herbert because he would have been delivering. True. It would have been Brian Flores' defensive scheme and personnel deal here. Yeah. The team would have been giving up 20 points a game, and Herbert going to give you about 28 a game, so we good.
Alan Pappard.
I'm not going there because it's obviously we do not know, and anything I'm going to tell you, I think the Dolphins would be in a better spot, even regardless of what happened in previous years. Like right now, I don't think the Chargers have any questions whatsoever about their quarterback situation, and the Dolphins do.
So, no underthrown deep balls. You know how many more touchdowns we're going to get? At least one a game.
All right.
Who would he be throwing to his rookie year?
I'd have been curious.
Waddle would be an all-pro.
He wouldn't have been there his rookie year.
Waddle would be an all-pro.
Maybe
you get his rookie year? Devontae Parker would still be in the league.
No, he wouldn't.
Doug, look at Ryan Fitzpatrick's stats from 2020. Don't go there.
Hey, too much faith. If Ryan Fitzpatrick can light it up.
My thought process on this question has nothing to do with Herbert and has everything to do with this organization. When I've seen quarterback after quarterback after quarterback after quarterback come in here and then not do. Prime example, Ryan Tannehill. 7 years, nothing.
He wasn't top shelf.
Wins in Tennessee. You know why? Because they know how to build a team.
Because he had Derrick Henry.
Exactly. They know how to build a team. The Dolphins don't know how to build a team. It's the organization, it's not the quarterback.
Let's move on.
Trey with the tenor says, question for Poop. How did it feel finally being able to ask Anthony Weaver a question?
So for those who don't know, I tend to defer to my colleagues and don't ask questions very often at press conferences for reasons that I'll get into at some other point, maybe, but I don't. And on Thursday, at one point, I was ready to ask a question. And then as I start asking it, Perk jumps over me and talks over me. And Anthony Weaver, who's staring directly at him, goes with Perk instead. Perk continues his question after looking at me and saying, sorry, Poop.
Yeah.
Sorry, let me ask the question.
Treated you like a speed bump.
I know, right? And then Weaver finishes the question and I get ready to ask it again. And Joe Schott jumps in and asks a question. And then the young lady who is
Alanis, yeah. AP.
No, I know, but it was Grace who was supervising the press conference, goes one last question, and Alanis from AP jumps in and asks a question, and I'm looking around like, oh. and then Weaver answers a question, and Grace looks at me and goes, go ahead, Alan, and then Perk goes to me and goes, better make it a good one. Wow. And my question was, for those who may not have caught it, was, what do you tell Jack Jones as far as balancing?
It was a good one.
Your aggressive style of play with not getting too handsy and getting unnecessary penalties.
Because we could have got the ball back. Yeah, a good question. Yeah,
great to answer your question. It was quite a relief. I felt very
glorious. Similar. He probably was like, he started floating in his chair a little bit.
It was a good question, and it actually got into something that is a problem for Jack, and he's too emotional.
Mm-hmm.
And they got to get him to play with a little bit of emotional balance.
Got to find that fine line.
Fine line.
RJ with the tour says, preach, TD. Spot on. Read the room, Tua. Russell with the tour says, I blame everyone from the top down, Ross to players.
That's fair. As you should.
Yep. Noel B with the fiver says, TD needs to learn to open up and express himself.
Noel's funny.
What about Jack with the fiver? He said Tua should never have been drafted round one simply because of his Bo Jackson injury, let alone throwing with his 55-yard arm.
Listen, I will say this. When you're watching that college film in Alabama, there were no questions about Tua's arm. However.
What?
Stop it.
Go ahead.
However, from that, I think from that hip injury, it was never the same.
It was better, though. I will say that. It was a better arm, but marginal.
It was a solid arm. Poop knows. Very first practice, I was like, what the hell is this?
Correct. That's when he was
in Alabama. And that's why it's important to watch a quarterback live. Like, y'all know, I don't have any respect for Mel Kiper. None. Zero. And here's the reason why. I've been on the NFL scouting talent circuit, combine, Senior Bowl for 18 years. I've never seen Mel Kiper, ever. I've seen everybody else. I've never seen Mel Kiper. Mel Kiper never comes to anything, so he never watches anybody in person. You cannot evaluate a quarterback without seeing them in person, without seeing them throw field level. Like in 2008, this is when I learned this, 2008, that's when I discovered a guy named Joe Flacco from Delaware who was at the Senior Bowl as a last-minute invite. And his balls, you could literally hear his passes. They're going.
You could hear his balls?
Yeah, you could hear his passes.
Just clunk around, man. Just clunk
around. And same thing. I remember Love. I went to the Senior Bowl to see Herbert. And Love throw in person, like both arms, did not like Herbert's personality, was you know, Love was a project, but I wish I would have seen Tua throw in person, because if I had seen him throw in person, I probably would have been like, at five, oh no. But we are where we are. And I'm not, that doesn't mean that I'm jumping off the Tua bandwagon, but the reality is, and Tua can make every throw, but Tua cannot make every throw if his feet aren't set properly.
No, you're not getting off the bandwagon. You're glued to your seat in the bandwagon. I was gonna chime in with, I saw
he is the wagon.
You're the conductor. I saw Josh Rosen's first practice in Miami, or one of the first ones, and it was like, no, just to show that no, Omar, arm is not everything, because that ball came out. I mean, that was some zip on there.
I remember you saying that. I didn't think it was. I thought it was good. It wasn't stellar. And I'm not a Josh Rosen fan from that day.
I agree. And neither am I. But the dude had some zip. Big time.
He's got some balls on him, you know. Yes. Aaron with the 5%. When I watch the Chiefs, Eagles, or Bucks, I get jealous seeing their structure. Which method should the Dolphins try to emulate?
What structure? Because Todd Bowles, Miami had Todd Bowles, the Jets had Todd Bowles. I like, you know what makes me think, you know what I would do right now? This is one of the thoughts in my mind. I'm a huge Bruce Arians fan. Y'all know that. Mm-hmm. I would make Bruce Arians my GM. I wouldn't even think about it. Like,
or a czar type, at least.
Yeah.
That's what
his personality doesn't match Steve Ross. It's not what Steve Ross would do. But I totally would let Bruce Arians build my team.
Red Hood with the fiver says, don't get mad. Don't get me wrong. I think Tua would be good on a team like the Saints, but on the Dolphins, he's a bum on a bad contract. Time to cut our losses and move on. Said that on Twitter, I think, a few days ago. Same thing I said about Tannehill. He needs a different area. He needs to go somewhere. Dome team. Like the Saints.
Needs to be a dome team, yes.
I think he'd do pretty good with the Saints. But
if he's got great weapons around him, yes, he'll do fine.
In an O-line. Elite O-line.
Nah, not elite. Just
and a good defense.
Just a good
great O-line. Great O-line. Top five
water game. Boy. Temperature set properly.
Hall of Fame tie. Tight end. Hall of Fame tie.
High thread sheets. Mm-hmm. Nice slippers.
Egyptian cotton.
Yes. We know everything that's wrong with the slippers. Just twitching out fault. Yes.
That's right.
More.
Massage therapist. But not. Listen.
John Houston Watson. Ain't far.
Listen.
Oh, wow.
Gary with the fiver says, what's going on with Odell? Is he about to tell all?
Bro, Odell, listen, and I didn't even watch the Pivot interview because there was nothing that Odell could say about the Miami Dolphins that would make me actually care, because, bro, you sucked when you left here. Mm-hmm. Like, we watched you practice. We watched you practice. Like, you could not move. So, you know. And realistically, I think he lost. He was having a Xavier Howard moment with football. Where I remember doing an interview with him, and he was like, he misses his son. And he wants, and, you know, he's here to play football, but it's his heart's kind of not in it. And once your heart is not in it anymore, it's time to go. Yeah.
Joe Mama with the fiver says, we talk a lot about Tua's play, but not but why not his health? One year with no injuries, are we one concussion away from needing a new quarterback?
I'm not even worried about the concussions anymore. I'm worried about the hip.
Yeah,
small little residual injuries here and there.
Mm-hmm. Jonathan with the tenor says, Alan Omar, without thinking, who is your head coach GM pairing on the chance that both Greer and McDaniel are gone, and why? Fins up. Love you guys. Real quick. Boom. Head coach GM.
it's such a hard question. Champ Kelly, Chris Shula.
Omar. Boom.
I am going with Lewis Riddick and old man Vic Fangio.
Ooh, would he come back? You throw money at him, he coming back. Only NFL fans hitting that membership. Appreciate you. Only NFL fans not only joining, but also donating $10. He said, been a fan since 2007, considering I was born in 97. I've never seen the Dolphins win a meaningful game in my lifetime. Will I ever? I also live in KC, which doesn't help. Are there signs of hope? Depends on the coach and GM they get next, if that is something that happens.
A meaningful game.
There are no signs of hope with this roster.
I would say that Bills game that Matt Moore and Jay Jahi won in Buffalo, I think that was a meaningful game. Clinched the playoff spot.
Our friend was 9 years old when that happened.
Anyway, John C. with a $25. You guys do great. Let's hope we can make that 100 next week. 70% pass on second down equals a win. Hey, man, we're keeping an eye out on it. Antoine with the fiver said, if you think about it, two is the strongest arm, being it's his non-dominant arm. I'd like to see him throw with his right.
However you want to slice it.
Kind of messed up. His dad made him learn to throw lefty.
Probably was better.
Never know. Jonathan with the fiver said the Bucks have had, if not still, over 60% of their draft players still on the team. They have a great development system. Maybe poach some coaches.
Maybe they're better at drafting.
Yep.
Yeah.
But we are going to get out of here. We will see you Tuesday, 7:30. Maybe Dolphin victory. Maybe we come out here and talk about how Tua lit it up. Nice. Herbert did it. And we got the right quarterback. And Tua is the greatest thing ever. I'm just trying to wow people up.
Nothing in this game is going to tell us that.
They already hate me because apparently I'm a Tua-neer. Me and you, Omar. Even though I saw your tweet today. I quote tweeted it.
What tweet was that?
Draft a quarterback every year. I saw that.
Oh, that was from a year ago. I don't know why somebody retweeted it. And I do believe it.
Man, we're two in ears.
You should.
Exactly. Year. Give me Sellers. Omar Kelly, Miami Herald, Alan Poupart, Dolphins on SI, TD Fins Talk, YouTube.com/TD Fins Talk. And again, check out the AFC's Roundtable, Roundtable Sports. It's got a whole great network over there, and you can check me out, YouTube.com/DougLeeDuong. We out, Cub Scout. See you Tuesday.